Let's turn again to the psalm that we have been singing, Psalm 34, and consider again verse 10. Psalm 34 and verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The young lions are unlikely to be hungry, but it's possible. It happens. Whatever the reason for it might be, and there might be a number of reasons, but we can leave that alone, except for the contrast that is intended here. The one thing is unlikely. The other thing is what is extremely likely, that those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Those that seek the Lord, and we were trying to say something on Sabbath morning about those that seek the Lord, that they have a need. And it's good when the Lord finds out a sinner and makes that person feel a need that cannot be satisfied except by God himself, through the great work that was done when the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the whole basis of the provision for those that seek the Lord. It's not their seeking that saves them, but those who seek will find. And let us not be stumbled by things that seem to contradict something else on the pages of Scripture. If we can put things together by God's grace and be satisfied that He is speaking truly and faithfully, We should be willing to leave things where they are. We should be willing to believe that there is no contradiction in Scripture. There might be seeming contradictions, but there is no real contradiction. And even if we cannot find what will take away the seeming contradiction, we're to be content to leave it in the Lord's hands, knowing that He is faithful to us in what He says. Well, they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And certainly it was true by way of contrast again, that the rich man, when he went into eternity, although he didn't, one assumes, lack any good thing in this world, yet perhaps he was getting many a thing and they appeared to be good, and they weren't really good for him. For someone to have great riches without grace, we can say that the riches aren't really good for them. They're making them trust in their riches. And they are uncertain. Paul uses that expression, uncertain riches. And that's what they were for the man. Even if they didn't have wings and fly away, he had to leave them. He had to leave them behind. and then he had nothing. And poor Lazarus, and it's only looking at him outwardly, again by way of contrast, that Lazarus is poor. As far as outward things were concerned, he was poor. As far as spiritual riches were concerned, he was not poor. Absolutely not. That's the great thing about those who seek the Lord. Spiritually, they are not poor. And even Lazarus, who is no doubt being provided for, he had to beg. He had to beg. No doubt you could seek that from the Lord, that someone would have a kind heart and give him what he needed in God's providence. Yes, and he was getting something of the riches, great provision of food that the rich man had for himself. Well, the Lord will not forsake his promise. Yes, there will be a provision in one way or another. And we might say, as far as poor people are concerned, in probably in other countries where there is famine and that sort of thing, and they don't have a provision, and they seem to be lacking the good thing, it might be what the Lord will do is to take them away from this world and bring them to the plenty of heaven. The Lord will fulfill his promises one way or another. But what we need to understand, among many another thing, we need to understand what is good in this world. The provision that God is making for those who seek him. And that provision is of good things. But we should be careful that the good things we are seeking, first, foremost, are things for the soul. Seek ye first, we are told, God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then, the Savior says, all these things shall be added unto you. The matters of food and drink and clothing, and whatever else, no good thing. But you see where we are to start. Have you started yourself in connection with the good things for the soul? That when you have desires for good things that you do not have, but they may not be good, really. If you were seeking something from the entertainments of this world, however they might come to you, are they really good for you? And if they're keeping you from seeking salvation, seeking Christ, they are not good for you. But it's good to be seeking, and it's good to be searching the Scriptures, looking into the Word of God to see the supply that is made for sinners. You see, the Savior speaking about the treasures that are in heaven. Those that do not have treasure in heaven. There's others. And how good that is who have treasure in heaven. And although they would lose all earthly things, and we need some earthly things, we're not to push things too far. We're not to push things beyond the limit of truth. We need something to keep body and soul alive. And the promise, you see, is that those who seek the Lord will not lack these good things. But Lord, the Lord may give some, so much less by way of good things for this life than other things. The Lord may give some people so much less than others. And you see, if they have grace, and that's the what our assumption is just now in connection with the text, then they will get their good things in eternity. And is the Saviour not speaking about those who will have their good things in this world? So they're limited. Limited by time. Limited by death. And he was speaking of those that have their good things in eternity. You see, providence, no doubt, for those that seek the Lord, gives good things to the right extent and to them in the right way and at the right time. Now, it might not be what we would say was good, but we're to leave our own reasoning and our own minds wherever we leave them and submit to the good providence of God and be looking to Him on the basis of the principle I referred to already. Seek ye first, in the first place, foremost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, the things the Saviour had been referring to. Now, you see, the Lord is described in verses 15 and 17 in much the same way as far as the principle is concerned. The eyes of the Lord, first of all, are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. So whatever their needs are, He sees them. And whatever they bring before Him in prayer, He hears them. And when the Lord sees and hears His own child, and there's something wrong, and they're bringing it before the Lord. They're seeking the Lord in connection with that matter. What a blessing it is. And seeing them and hearing their cry, they will be provided for. Again, verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. But remember what I was trying to say already. The delivering from their troubles may be by taking them away to heaven. And you see, when a person's life comes to an end, whether they had plenty or less than plenty, whether they kept well or whether they were ill, whether they made progress in their work or didn't make any great progress in their work, and it might have been a trouble to them. Yet, at the end of their days, they will be taken away to heaven. You see, and the great matter is, however we express it, the great matter is to have a treasure in heaven, to have treasure in heaven. He delivers them from all their troubles. Yes. It's not our standard that matters for what is good provision for this life. You see, everything else may be counterbalanced by the blessings that God gives to a person's soul, and the perfection of blessings for the soul in the first instance that will be made perfect when a sinner, made a saint, brought to seek the Lord, will be made perfect at the day of their death and brought into the eternal blessedness of heaven. Now David says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And one might wonder, what is meant by that? Surely, if he had gone far enough, and if he had gone at the right time, he would have seen the seed of the righteous begging bread. But what David is saying is, I have never seen it. And therefore, we can assume that that is all he is saying. But saying that it is a rare thing. Yes. And he had seen, no doubt, many an ungodly person begging bread. And, as it were, forsaken by God in his providence. But, oh, whatever we have or don't have, may we be earnest about our souls. May we be earnest in connection with the call of the gospel. When the Savior says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Come, whatever kind of burden is on your soul. Come. Hear David speaking. He is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Come, see David speaking wisely and in a godly way when he says, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Come. You see. What a wonderful word that is from the Savior. Come. Do not stay away. And our response might well be, when we hear the word come, draw me. I've been referring to that a few times recently. But it's striking how we can put the two verses together. A needy sinner. And the Savior is saying, come. And the sinner is saying, I cannot come. But then perhaps he is reading the Bible and he starts and the Song of Solomon, and he hasn't gone many verses on his way. I'm just reading the first chapter, and then he is caught by this. Draw me, we will run after thee. You see, the encouragement there is in the first place to the sinner to come. But secondly, the encouragement to realize that we need a divine work to make us come. And we are invited. You see, it's down there in the Word of God so that we might take it up. How many of the petitions in the Word of God? Perhaps I could say all of them. Though there might be particular context for some that make it more difficult. But, you see, the petitions that there are in the Word of God, how ready we should be to take them up and use them for ourselves. And to take the matter a bit further, when we read the statements in the Word of God, for instance, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, or the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, we are to make these into prayers. When shouldn't be saying, I'm not able to pray, I'll have to give up. But make use of the Bible in the way I'm suggesting, and more than suggest. Take that up. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And I'm a sinner in this world, and I need salvation. I need to be put right. I need to be forgiven. I need to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. May I get the benefit of what he did when the Father sent. May I get the benefit. And you see, that may bring us back to verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Let's focus on this point just now. The Lord is good in connection with them that seek salvation. The Lord is good. The Lord is kind to them. The Lord can draw them. The Lord hears their prayers, even if they cannot tell at that time that they are among the Lord's children. You see? The Lord is good. So, taste and see. Now, someone, if we can follow through a human example, that someone, you're in a bad way, let us say, as far as your situation is concerned. You see, you might say, I need help, or we need help. And if the Lord doesn't help us, where will we be? And somebody comes to your door, and this is the Lord's means of supplying your need, and gives, let's say just now, you or your parents, what's needed by the house. And when the person goes away, what is said may be along these lines. Wasn't she good that came with exactly what we needed? Wasn't she good? Wasn't she kind, in other words? Now, coming back to the spiritual matter, you see, the Lord is good. And you are to taste and see that the Lord is good, that the Lord is kind. Now, I'm emphasizing spiritual need just now, but that's not the only thing. The Lord is good in his providence, in supplying what you need. But you see, if we're thinking of the soul seeking salvation, remember this, the Lord is good, and you're encouraged to taste, to taste. Do not stay away from Christ, but go to him and experience what you need. And I'm not putting away just now the matter of the call, draw me. Yes, but it's the Lord's goodness we are pointed to. And if we taste the Lord's goodness, if we taste the Lord's goodness in providing salvation, in forgiving sin, in turning those who seek him from their sins, making them new creatures in Christ Jesus, and giving them a bad taste for sin, then the next thing comes in. You will see that the Lord is good. But you're to go to him with your needs. You're to go to him and trust in him. You see what follows. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste. It's trusting, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, let us go to him, even if all we can say is, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand, but say this to him further. It is thy work. Do not leave me to myself, but according to thy goodness. The Lord is good, so we may say, according to thy goodness, supply my need as a sinner, needing forgiveness, needing grace, needing faith, needing everything that I need in my soul. There's a full provision. And let the people of God go back again and again to the one who drew them in the first place, who gave them grace to believe in the first place, and be asking that they might get fresh views of Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. And you see, we have the work of Christ set before us in Psalm 22. And later on, at verse 24, we read, He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. He hath not despised the affliction of the afflicted. You can apply that anyway, in any way. But apply it particularly in this, the matter of salvation, the matter of spiritual need, the matter of the need of one's soul. And when a sinner comes to Christ in the light of God's word, and the question might be, will he have me? Will he send me away empty? As he seemed to do with Syrophoenician woman. Will he despise it? Will he reject it? For whatever reason, for some reason. And the answer must be no. He did not despise it in her affliction because of the trouble that her daughter was in. Whatever exactly that was. So we're pointed in a particular direction, but you see, Christ didn't despise. Christ was working. Christ was drawing her. You see? He was drawing her while he seemed to be pushing her away. The reality was that he drew her. He drew her to himself. Perhaps it wasn't the first time she had been drawn. But you see, there's so much to be learned from that incident when the sinner cries, looking unto Jesus, the Lord hears. And you see, the cry that is heard is the cry that goes along with looking unto Jesus. Yes. We are told in Luke chapter 1 that the Lord has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has filled the hungry with what is really good, hungry for spiritual things, and crying out to the Lord in prayer. And even if it's only a little squint, to Christ at that stage, yet the Lord sees it, the Lord recognizes it as faith. However weak the faith might be, see, that's the reality that matters. The reality. And faith may be real, even if it's very weak. And you see, when Paul seems at his lowest, and he is thinking of the state of his soul, when he says, I see another law in my members, besides grace, warring against the law of my mind. He had to say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But you see, there's faith there. As he was speaking to heaven. Yes, though it was recorded in his letter to the Romans. And how do I know there was faith? It's because of what he went on to say immediately afterwards. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why has he come to that stage? I thank God because he has been brought to look to Christ and Christ has answered him. That's it. The Lord saw in his need, of soul, and the Lord supplied his need. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke grace into his soul. The Lord gave him that to hang on. The Lord and what he has done, what he has provided for sinners like Saul of Tarsus. And these truths that he was thinking about, they were applied to his soul. He got an answer. He got deliverance. And however it is with us and our souls, however dead and dry one might become, still the Lord is able to supply our needs. Whose needs? Those that seek. And while we may often think of someone seeking salvation when we don't know if that person is a child of God that's yet at least or not. But you see, that's a seeking if the Lord will continue it on. But it's also seeking on the part of God's children. There would have been a seeking on the part of Paul when he was saying, O wretched man that I am. What does a wretched man need? Well, with that on Sabbath evening, that we are to go to Christ. He is calling us to come and buy. To buy gold. To buy what will heal our eyes. And what will give us spiritual clothing. Yes, I counsel thee to come. You who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it may be quite sure at one time that you had found, and now you're in difficulty. If that's the case, what are you to do? Go to the Lord. He is calling you. He's calling you, calling me. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And how will I buy gold? Spiritual gold is the thing. How will I buy spiritual gold when I'm such a poor sinner? When I'm poor and wretched and blind and naked and miserable. All that and more. How will I buy? It's without money and without price. The price has been paid. Everything has been provided for. That's it. Yes. So come. Make sure you're not putting money in your hand. Make sure of that. Make sure you're not saying, I have done this and I have done that and I've been so regular in church and I've been trying to pray and I read the Bible and I'm nice to people and so on. Put all that away. Put it away from you as something that you think might earn you salvation. You see, there may be all things that are appropriate to do. But to make them a basis for salvation, to be like the rich young ruler saying, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack are ye? You've got such a pile of gold, spiritual gold in your purse or in your wallet or in your hand. Oh, put it away. Do not use it as gold. Ask the Lord to give you something better. Ask the Lord that you can thank him for, as Paul did. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, that's the source. What Christ did, that's the source that we should be thinking of in connection with our salvation. When we feel our sin, when we feel our wretchedness, whatever it is, we're to go to Christ, who is still saying. He didn't stop saying that when you became less serious about your soul, when you left off seeking in any sense. He didn't go away. He is still ready to say. And to this evening, will we say, he is whispering it into your ear. Yes, he is whispering it into your ear. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And everything else that relates to salvation. Yes, everything else. It's put metaphorically there, but take it literally. It's the grace of God that you need. What supplies there are in heaven. Treasure in heaven for his children. Treasure in heaven. And we're to go to Christ, who is calling us to come. Come unto me. Yes, I counsel thee to buy of me. The one who died for sinners that there might be salvation. Yes, the one who died and who says, my grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And see the way, I haven't referred to the background to this psalm. I made some little reference to it in Sabbath, but let us notice, I didn't refer to it this evening, but notice how David begins. He has been brought to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The Lord heard him. The Lord delivered him. I sought the Lord, he says, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. May the Lord bless his word to us.